To Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. How many know that prayer changes things?
Amen.
How many know that God called for each and every one of us to pray for the welfare and the well-being of our brothers and sisters? Amen. How many knows that when we put His word to work in our lives, amen, that we'll operate and move in His will, which is His way, and then we'll get answers to what we pray. Amen? I was looking, it's kind of interesting. I'm a word person, and sometimes I see word, and I saw that word work, the word, putting the word to work, and I was looking at that word work, and an acrostic I got for that word was wisely obtaining revelation knowledge. Wisely obtaining revelation knowledge. Solomon said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. And we say this and repeat this because it's so valuable and important. The devil cannot steal from you what you understand. He can only steal from you what you're confused about. Amen? He is the author of confusion. And where confusion is, there's every evil work according to the word of God. So God's purpose today is to speak to us and minister to our hearts and lives. And I think some of the greatest healing we can get in our body, minds, and souls and spirits is revelation and understanding of God's word. And if we have revelation and understanding of God's word, all of a sudden, the enemy can't have his heyday with us like he used to. Amen? Who in here has the devil been bugging? Let me see your hands. He been bugging me this morning. You know, that came in here early this morning, and that heat system, the heat pump on that side of the building isn't working. And it still isn't working. Amen? Amen. So if anybody's going to the nursery today, it's not going to be very warm in there. It's probably warmer in there because it's a little cozy room. But look with me in Ephesians chapter 1, and let's see what the Lord wants to say to us through the preaching and teaching of His word. And verse number 16, he says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The title of this morning's message is Enlightened to Endure. And we're going to look at his word to enlighten us, to enrich us, and to enhance us. Okay? Can we lift God's word and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you're sending it here today to accomplish something in each and every one of our hearts. So, Father God, I pray, Father God, that I get out of your way. That I'll be used as a vehicle or a vessel for you, Father God, to speak through, to minister through, to reach each and every one right where we are. That your love and your mercy and your grace is abounding to everyone in the room. That you do desire not to leave anyone where they are, but to take us on a journey from glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. So, Lord, I say, have your way. Have your way in this atmosphere. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer that's gathered here and the sanctuary and on the website, Father God. Be magnified and glorified through it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, God wants to enlighten our understanding, okay? He sent his word to enlighten. And when I was looking at that, look at me in Psalms chapter 18. Psalms 18. He says in verse number 27. He says, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Amen. We sing that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I think we ought to change the words of that song because I think that we ought to be singing it as a torch. Amen. We need to light up this atmosphere. We're living in this world we're living in, we're living in a really dark time. And now more than ever before, the light of the Christ and the light of God has to be shined. And God will enlighten us by his word. His word is what brings light. Amen. Amen. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Amen. So God's word is here to enlighten us. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 29, verse number 18. The word of God says, and in that day, change that right now in your mindset and say, in this day. Because Christ has already come. Amen. Isaiah was prophesying, but Jesus is already here. Amen. He says, in this day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness, and the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Amen. And what the prophet Isaiah was not only just speaking about spiritual, physical deafness and physical blindness, but he is speaking about spiritual deafness, not hearing the word of the Lord. How many know in these days that we're living in, the word's being watered down so much, it doesn't have much of effect anymore? Amen. Everybody's preaching what everyone wants to hear except what they need to hear. Amen. Amen. And God has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word will not change. When he wrote it, he meant it, and he never changes his mind. Amen. In other words, since God doesn't change his mind, he calls for you and I to do what? We got to change ours. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So God wants to enlighten us with his word. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, I'm not letting my light so shine before man that they may see my good works. I'm letting his light shine in and through me, the light of his word. Amen. His word reveals darkness. Amen. So he says first that he wants to enlighten us. Amen. I think our future is really bright. Have everybody ever witnessed the glory of the Lord? If you witness the glory of the Lord, this body cannot handle his glory. Amen. When I think of brilliance, have you ever looked into the sun and you look into the sun and then all of a sudden you look around and everything looks like rainbowy and colored and you really can't see? That son's nothing compared to the S-U-N is nothing compared to the S-O-N. And when he returns, he's returning in glory. Amen. And we're serving, we're on the winning team. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. So he said, first thing he wanted to do today is he wants to enlighten us. He wants to light us up. Amen. Secondly, when I was looking at this, he wants to enrich us. Yeah, when I was looking at that, I was asking the Lord, what do you mean your word to enrich us? And to enrich means to improve. And what God wants to do is he wants to improve our faith. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, God's going to increase our faith. He's going to enrich it. Amen. I don't know about you, but as I'm believing in the riches of God and the manifestation of the Lord, I've got to allow that to enrich my faith or what I believe. Amen. Do you truly believe? We make statements. We say, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you really believe that all things are possible? Then if all things are possible and you believe that all things are possible, stop giving glory to the thing that's holding you back and give the glory to the answer and not to the problem. Your problem is you're glorifying the problem. You're magnifying the problem. You're exalting the problem. And God said, exalt me over the problem and the problem will dissolve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hello? So secondly is to enrich us. In Proverbs chapter 8, how many know that Solomon was pretty wise? The Proverbs says in Proverbs 8, verse number 17, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I might cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Amen. I don't know about you, but one thing I've learned about the God that I serve, man, I can't outgive him. He says to us, I love what the prophet Hosea said in Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. He said, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. So God is saying, as we allow the word to enlighten us, it will enrich our faith. Matter of fact, in James chapter 2, I haven't preached over here yet, have I? How's everybody on this section? Everybody happy? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, what's going to show it? Can I see everybody smile for a moment? If you don't have anything to smile at, look at me. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll move on. I love this word in James chapter 2, verse number 5. We're talking about it being enriched, our faith being enriched. Hearken. Pay attention. My beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Amen? My faith is richer than my bank account. My bank account isn't rich because I give. Amen? Amen? God loves a cheerful giver. We give cheerfully. But God has provided for each and every one of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He healed me. He delivered me. He set me free. Amen. He keeps me from having to go to the doctor. Amen. He keeps me in well-being and wellness of mind, body, and soul, and spirit. Why? Because he enlightened me by his word and he enriched me in faith to believe. Amen. Let me say something to you. Just to give a little clarity here. When I'm professing and I'm declaring and I'm speaking about the wonders of God and his miracles and his signs and wonders, there's also trials and tribulations. There's also storms. There's also things that I have to go through. Amen. That nobody is escaping the storms of life. They're here. As long as we're in this world, we're going to go through storms, but we never go through the storm alone. He is the peace in the midst of the storm. He is the very present help in the time of need. Amen. I'm not going to say to anybody in this room that you're not going to have to go through something. But what God wants you to understand, by faith, you will never go through it alone. He said in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he'd be as close as the call of his name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So with that in mind, being enriched, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he's writing to the church, and he says in verse number 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you until the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? So God sent his word to enlighten us. He sent his word to enrich our faith, to thirdly, his word to enhance our belief. To enhance something is to improve more. When you enrich something, it improves it. And when you enhance something, it improves it even better. Amen. I mean, you look at that. If we truly believe God in his word, if he says he takes you and I, his children, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, that God, that we're all on a journey together. Amen? But the key is that we're better together. Amen? We're better together. So in 1 Corinthians, so thirdly is to enhance. So if you look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, is anybody going through anything, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. So he says to you and I, with that in mind, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Look to your neighbor and say, this too shall pass. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. He says to you and I, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Amen? Amen? Now, the longer, many times we stay in our affliction because we feed the affliction and not feed the resolve. So many times, if life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof, so many times we speak into the death. We speak things into existence. You don't realize that you're a child of God and your words have power. Your words have power for good and your words have power for evil. Amen? So God says, protect our lips. Watch what we speak. You know, I'm not going to feed the disease. I'm going to feed the answer. You know, one of the things he says, in everything, give thanks, for that is will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So when something's coming, I was in there today and I've been thanking him all day for the heat pump that wasn't working. Now, I could let it bother me and have an effect, so I would speak to you in a negative manner instead of a positive manner. Amen? Because then I would feed the adversary and I'd give him victory. And the adversary will not have victory in this house. He will not have victory in your life. God's for you, and who can stand against you? Amen? God wants you to know that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus that gives you and I strength. Amen? Amen? We're a mighty army. Amen? We're a mighty army. You may not feel strong today. Amen? But in the name of Jesus, I speak strength to every limb and every organ in your body. I speak Holy Spirit strength in you, that you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. Amen? And when we're trusting in him instead of trusting in ourselves, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, and all of our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our path. Amen? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to feed the poor, and I'm going to starve the adversary. Hallelujah. You with me today? Praise God. So in 2 Timothy, and the apostle's second letter to his student, we're all students here, right? Studying to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Amen. It's his word, not my word. And the Apostle Paul is giving his student, Timothy. Here's this man, the Apostle Paul. He's writing this letter from prison. I mean, the guy's been beaten and whipped, amen? And he's bringing glory to God. And what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 10, he says this. He says, he wants us to have revelation that what we're going through is not only for our benefit, but for the benefits of others, because others are watching what you're going through. Amen? Is anybody going through something? Come on now. He says, therefore, in verse 10, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Amen? Amen. So in closing today, God is sending his word to enlighten us, his word to enrich our faith, to enhance our belief, so that you and I may endure. Amen. Remember the title of the message was Enlightened to Endure. So in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 13, Jesus said this, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. God wants you and I to understand and have revelation that it's not over until it's over. Amen? God says today that he has sent his word to you and I to enlighten our path, to enrich our faith, to enhance our knowledge, so that we may endure the test. Recognizing that the trial of our faith worketh patience, and patience brings us experience, and experience brings us hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. John the Revelator says this in Revelation chapter 2. He says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 11. Revelation 2, verse 11. What is the second death? It's the judgment seat of Christ. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Whether present or absent, we belong to the Lord. And there's so many people that we're preaching about all the good and we're preaching about heaven. But I want you to understand today, as sure as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And when the trumpet sounds, the time is over. And grace is abounding to you and I today. But one day, the dispensation of grace will halt. It could be this very moment. It could be today. Amen? The key is that all of us are prepared and while we're ready. Amen? God isn't winking at sin. The Word of God says, should I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And the Lord says that we're to turn from our wicked ways. He loves us right where we are, but he loves us so much, he will not leave us there. He has better plans for us than we have revelation and understanding of. The devil has lied and disguised and made everything look so good, and what it is bringing is death. But Jesus said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says to you and I, choose ye this day who you will serve. The choice belongs to you and I. God isn't going to make anyone do anything. It's between you and I and him. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. That you send the word to enlighten us, to enrich our faith, to enhance our knowledge. First and foremost, if you're here today and there's things in your life that you know that aren't pleasing to the Lord, and you need his help to overcome. With heads bowed and eyes closed just in this moment. If that is you, as you slip